This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We just started talking about this new program by the Federal Reserve for failing banks to lean on the Federal Reserve and, of course, the Fed's ability to print money from thin air. Up to $2 trillion. Actually, it could be more than that, according to the story here at businessinsider.com, which we can get into in a moment. But if you want to weigh in, you can. It's Ian tonight.
And Bigless Mountaineer.
The number is 603-283-6160. One of our chatters in our chat server, which you can join over at chat.freetalklive.com, to give you the instructions on how to get on our Matrix server. Meatball DeSantis's bootlicker posted this. Looks like an image from perhaps 4chan, where it says Santander to crash before next Friday. You heard it here first. Just got fired from this awful bank. There is literally no money. They've made awful investments in at least six countries and want to downsize to an online banking service should they get a bailout. They're cutting credit card limits so people can't withdraw money. This is big, he says. Unlike the banks that crashed already, Santander is an international bank that works with middle to lower class private citizens, much more than business and rich people. The mood is awful. There are already talks of a massive recession all across the West. It is all but confirmed. Now, obviously, this is just somebody posting to the internet. But it's interesting, nonetheless. And you pointed,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Right. And you pointed out, Pecos, that Santander was making headlines within the last couple of years for telling its clients that they would no longer be allowed to send any wire transfers to Bitcoin exchanges.
That's exactly right. So this guy's saying that it's going to last a week. I'm going to tell you, no, it's going to get bailed out. They're going, and here's the thing. So they're not announcing that you are simply not allowed to do anything with crypto. That would be telling. That might actually spawn people to go, oh, wait, why are they so threatened by cryptocurrency?
Well, when you say they, you mean the Federal Reserve, the federal government, because Santander did announce that you can't do it.
Exactly. So a bank like Santander, who has announced, I am forthrightly getting away from cryptocurrency, you watch. It'll get patted on the head like a good boy.
Yeah, they're in protected status.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like New Republic Bank now is getting bailed out. Santander, if it has trouble, it will get bailed out in a hurry.
Well, now, the poster makes an interesting claim, and that is that Santander is saying if they get a bailout, they want to become an online bank, which would mean closing branches, shutting down their bank bureaucracy, ultimately, because online banks don't need locations, right? They just rely on ATMs and bank by mail, essentially. So it would be a huge cost cutting to essentially fire all physical bank branch staff and not have to pay whatever rents that they're paying on those locations. Because obviously, with any business, your payroll is your number one expense. So maybe they could, manage to stay afloat if they changed gears.
I mean, not to mention that you have real estate prices. And as we were talking about last hour very briefly, like, the price of real estate gets heavily inflated because it's used as a store of value. So when you're paying the rents on these places, or at least the property taxes, that is also a pretty huge expense. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Tim. He's on the line in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I wanted to let you know, by the way, I'm the guy that called in about BitSquare maybe a week and a half ago.
About what?
BitSquare.
Oh, BitSquare.
A week and a half ago.
I don't remember what that was, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It was the decentralized exchange.
BISC. B-I-S-Q.
Yeah, they renamed it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That's
how disconnected I am from some of these crypto things. But, good to know. What's on your mind tonight, Tim?
Yep. So I went into a convenience store to either buy some BCH or DTC from an ATM. I had actually pulled out cash. I'm here in Southwest Florida, and so I go into this convenience store. I always buy gas over there. I always notice they had a Bitcoin ATM. I go in, and there's two chip strip clips, if you know what I'm talking about.
What kind of clips?
Well, like merchandising clips for chips, you know. It's like an
it's like a string of chips that like might hang down from the shelving unit.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, and they were actually hanging down in front of the Bitcoin ATM screen. So I parted them, and it says network connection not available. Please try again later. So I'm like, okay. They're trying to count money. They're trying to do shift change. But I look at the girl. They're Eastern European. I said, I got to ask you. I said, she's like, oh, you need Bitcoin? She says, out of order, out of order. I'm like, can I ask you something? She's like, sure. I said, is it a technical issue or is it because of fear? And she said, fear.
Whoa.
Yeah. And this is in Florida. You know, Bitcoin ATMs are very popular here right now.
That's interesting because in recent weeks there have been some targetings. There was one company called Bitcoin of America that operated 2,500 Bitcoin vending machines around the country. Their operators got arrested by the state of Ohio and the Secret Service.
Wow.
In a 28 police department jurisdiction investigation, they've been charged with multiple felonies. Sounds very much like the Crypto 6 case, except a lot bigger, right? 2,500 Bitcoin vending machines. We had four here in New Hampshire. And then there's another Bitcoin ATM operator that has gone bankrupt, one of the major ones. I think it was CoinCloud, if I recall correctly. So it's looking like it's getting tough out there for these Bitcoin vending machine operators.
They went after CoinCloud. Dang, they were.
Maybe it's the wrong name, but it was a biggie. One of them went bankrupt. No, they didn't go after them. They just went bankrupt. So I don't know what the behind the scenes story is on that. That's a few weeks old. That particular story.
Right.
But Tim, did you try going anywhere else, or was it just this one location?
No, I've been pretty busy, but Monday or Tuesday I'm going to go to a different location. They're all over the place, but.
Just to be clear, was the message on the screen like a piece of paper that had been taped to it, or was it an actual like computer monitor message?
It was a computer monitor message. It actually said there was no network connection, but I did just want to say that I talked to the girl for a second. I'm like, I know you're doing shift change, but I actually mentioned you, Ian, because I think your case is going to be a precedent that they use to basically it's bad enough for you, but on top of that, anyone operating a Bitcoin ATM is potentially going to be arrested for what do you call it?
Unlicensed money transmission?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're going to bring that charge against the companies that have got the money transmission permit from FinCEN. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why they went after this Bitcoin of America. They were claiming that they didn't have the money transmitter license in that case. Also, they're claiming money laundering and the whole
money
usual.
Laundering. That's going to be the big one.
That may very well be. That may be their in on going after the other companies. Like, oh, well, you haven't stopped every single old lady from coming in here and putting money into the machine. Well, we had the requirements. We had the license. We had we required them to show their ID, and they still put their ID in, and they still jump through the hoops, because that's what's going to happen. You know, it doesn't matter whether you've got the government license. These people are going to fall for these scams, unfortunately, because these scammers... They know what they're doing.
I sent so much money to a Romanian, but it was through Western Union. I fell for it when I was younger, but
really?
I used Western Union. And they say up front, they say, look, they never warned me or anything. You know, they didn't ask any
questions.
Took
your money.
They just let it on through, yeah.
Right. And the thing is, even if they warned you, now I don't know what your situation was. Was it a romance scam?
I don't even know if it was a romance scam. It was just naivety on my part.
Okay. Well, in a lot of cases, you know, in my case, in the Crypto 6 case, I specifically had conversations with some of these people. I thought they were totally legitimate. I thought that they, you know, I'd ask them questions like, you know, are you being put up to this by a third party? Are you under duress? Because sometimes they're not romance scams. They're, like, being threatened by someone pretending to be, like, a government agent. Like, oh, I'm so-and-so from the IRS. You have to send us, you know, $20,000 in Bitcoin or we're going to arrest your son. You know, things like that.
No, it wasn't anything that crude. It was basically just, like, you know, not in physical relationship because we never met each other in person.
So it was a romance scam. You were hoping to have some sort of relationship.
It wasn't like a simple outright scam. You know, she did invest a lot of time into it.
Well, there's no, but they always put time into it, dude. It's always complicated, right? Like they're willing to put time into you in order to get you to give them that money.
Yeah, my point is just that, you know, like, it's not like they're going after Western Union and
no, they are not
charging them with money.
And they're not going after any of the banks either who do this all day long, every day. You know, they send wire transfers for some of these people. It's $100,000 or more in some cases. And these banks will just press the button and they'll fill out a form afterwards. They'll fill out some government form, but that doesn't stop these people from losing their money. The whole thing is ridiculous. And Tim, you said you had this happen to you when you were younger. How old were you when this happened?
I mean, I wish it had have been when I was really young, but it was in my mid-30s, you know.
That's pretty young.
Webcam. It was a webcam chick.
It just goes to show that anyone can fall for this stuff. I mean, there's not like an age limit. The prosecutors...
I didn't see her as any more of a scammer than like a lazy stoner girl that might be your next-door neighbor and ended up, you know, because that can be a scam and they can be your next-door. It was the same kind of thing where she's just like, oh, I need help.
Send me some money.
And she did need help.
Well, maybe she did. Maybe she didn't.
Because she wasn't working.
That's what she told you, at least. I mean, you have no idea what the truth is, right?
Exactly.
Thank you, Tim, for the call tonight.
Preying upon the compassion and empathy of the others.
Right. I mean, and you can hear...
It's truly despicable because it's using a virtue to harm someone.
Right, but and I think Tim is really like a typical example. I know he doesn't want to believe that he is, but he's a typical example of somebody who's fallen for this scam artist. Like, he still believes, however many years later, right? He still believes that this person was legitimately in need of help and that it wasn't actually a scam because of whatever story that she told him.
Well, and honestly, I think this is a big part of what is holding back Bitcoin adoption, is because there are so many people that would rather just double down on what they have already decided to do than to admit that, hey, the banking system is utterly fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
They had that choice in the beginning. Oh, I wish I'd gotten into Bitcoin when it was early. Guys, it's still early. It's still incredibly early.
It's 2017 prices right now,
right?
You know?
Right, but they already made the decision, and it's a very well-established psychological fact that people will tend to prefer to keep doing what they've already decided to do. Once you have, once you've already gone down one path, you will go further down that path.
And this is something the scam artists actually take advantage of.
Yep.
We had a guy on in 2020 in December who told us all the ugly details of the story of how he got scammed. And the reason why he just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper when there was a voice in the back of his head telling him, something's wrong with this, you know, you shouldn't keep going. He kept on going because he wanted so badly to believe what was happening to him. He wanted to believe that this person was going to actually materialize in his life and cut him a $3 million check or whatever it was when all was said and done. Because sometimes they'll claim to be, I've got this great inheritance and I just need some money to get it out of lockup in, Angola or wherever it is being kept. And then once I'm able to get the money, I'm going to fly to San Francisco where you live and then I'm going to be your lover and I'll pay it all back. And they believe it.
Yeah, admitting that you were wrong is harder than continuing to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's really shocking. And you know, one of the things they said in the Crypto 6 case during the trial, one of the things they tried to communicate to the jury was, oh, well, Ian Freeman was doing these Bitcoin sales with elderly people, and he should have known that elderly people will never buy Bitcoin, which is ridiculous. There are plenty of people of all ages who legitimately buy Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
But the suggestion was that elderly people are more likely to be victimized by these scams. And while that may or may not be true, I don't know what the numbers are on that. You just heard from somebody right there who was in his 30s who was being victimized by one of these scams. So the people that get victimized by these scams are the lonely people in the world, the
right.
people who they're looking to have attention from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly with elderly people, if they're widowed, for instance, then they are probably lonely and likely susceptible to this. But somebody in their 30s, somebody in their 40s can also be in that situation. One of the guys who I saved from getting scammed online was in his 20s. He was a stockbroker in New York, and he was really embarrassed when he realized what he had fallen for. In his case, it wasn't a romance scam. It was one of these. It was actually, they called and pretended to be Apple Computer, and it was like a really elaborate scam where there was more than one person. So it was like the caller called up and said, "Oh, hold on, I will transfer you to the relevant department," and then a woman picked up, and so like it was a big scam, right? Mm-hmm. Like you got more than one person involved,
right.
And it sounds like a professional operation. And they basically tried to empty his bank account out, and I caught him at the last minute before he was able to do that.
Well, and there are,
but he would have.
Yeah, and there's this huge swath of things that you fall for because you're lonely.
Yeah.
And the reason people are lonely is because they have been separated. Communities, families, friendships, these have all been separated.
He blamed it on
COVID.
He blamed it because he was on lockdown at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that is the absolute pinnacle of separating people from one another. Literally, social distancing. We will distance you from all of your social relations. And the reason that
and
you
he was in New York City where he couldn't even leave his apartment. You know?
Yeah, and the thing is, when you make someone distance from their social relations, you make them weaker. You make them more susceptible to be predated upon. And predators will move in and do so.
We continue here. Speaking of predators, we'll get into the Federal Reserve in a moment, what they're doing with the $2 trillion fund. But Jet is on the line. Calling from somewhere. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Jet.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Do me a favor, Jet, back away from that phone of yours. It's distorting pretty heavily.
I got it. Got it. Softer,
that's
maybe.
Better. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the SEC gang a little bit, wanting to kill crypto across the United States and calling it unlicensed securities. Well, I think they found their poison pen root. The idea that I don't think I'm giving them ideas, but all they have to do is declare it, then file suit, and get in front of an ignorant jury, and voila, they get their way. But the rest of the world is not under that, so we're still safe as far as using of crypto.
Oh yeah, that's a huge part of this. Is sure they're taking great strides to drive cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all of that out of the United States. Sure.
So is Europe, by the way.
Yeah, it will be moved out of the United States. Mm-hmm. It will be moved out of Europe. But the rest of the world isn't taking the same steps. And look, this genie's out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
This technology is going to get developed. Now, instead of it being developed in the light in the rich countries, it will get developed in the darkness and in the poor countries.
Well, they're going to turn the lights on pretty quick because they're going to not be so poor anymore after they get their hands on some cryptocurrency.
Well, and in the dark, I mean, for example, one of the big reasons that I believe that they didn't just go ahead and say, here are the rules, is so that a lot of the people that would be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do a fly-by-night company. I'm going to develop something that I don't care if it's completely illegal a year from now because I can harvest before then.
Mm-hmm. Jet?
But I think we're safe. What I'd like to do is jump over to a conclusion of my the discussion I've been trying to have about the magic of titles.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be real quick. We've talked about how there's the delusion of the people and there's the kingdoms of the nations and different things like that. Well, the answer I've found is something we've always known. It's very simple. But the magic of titles occurs somewhere in between the sociopathy, what I call a mental disorder, of a human who holds a title, who actually believes in their disturbed mind that they have the power, and then the individual's delusion or their timidity to do anything about it. And so here's a couple little short pieces of logic. If a human with the title imagines they have power, and the masses also imagine the person with the title has power, the tyrannical rulership and rules can persist. But if the people reject the notion that a human with special title has power, special powers, they in fact have no power outside of the willingness to exert gang violence against their fellow man. So here's the bottom line. All political power emanates from the barrel of a gun, period.
That's what Mao Zedong said, right?
Yes. And in order to help others gain that wisdom, the gun in the room has to be talked about very often. I would say as often as possible. In other words, they have no power without the guns. It's all in your mind. Own a gun.
Thank you, Jet, for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. And it is important to try to break the illusion of so-called authority.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, people are so highly dosed on it that it's going to be a real challenge.
Well, the fact of the matter is that no one wants to know this. If you try to point this out to people, they will reject it.
Well, because of cognitive dissonance, you
exactly.
mean?
Cognitive dissonance. They do not want to believe that the reason they obey the police is because the police will shoot them, will kidnap them, will torture them. They don't want to believe that. No matter how true it is, no matter how much you prove it to them, they do not want that to be so, and they will do mental backflips to make sure that they do not believe that, so that they will twist their mind to knots, so that, oh, this power is legitimate. This thievery is legitimate. This abduction, this murder, these are legitimate. Whereas the same action taken in any other case would obviously be evil, they will twist their mind in pretzels rather than admit the truth that they are a victim.
Yeah, it's been really interesting watching the Footloose situation with the New Hampshire Nine, a gentleman named Footloose, and then eight other people were arrested at a what they call an executive council meeting here in 2021. The trials are just getting going on that. But some of the people that were involved in this, most all of them are kind of the conservative-leaning, back-the-blue types, and it's been a real shock to their system because prior to them being arrested by the blue, they were backing the blue. Mm-hmm. And to listen to some of them speak sort of reveals kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, they literally did not know that these human beings were capable of immoral behavior.
But in some cases, they actually will blame the governor for the actions of the state troopers and just act as though, well, if it weren't for Chris Sununu, then
mental gymnastics
would be okay. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show. This is Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slamming former President Trump for a social media post this morning. Trump took to Truth Social to claim he will be arrested Tuesday and called for his supporters to protest. The California Democrat called Trump's post reckless. Trump's possible arrest could come in connection to the Manhattan District Attorney's probe into alleged hush money paid to a former adult film star. Legal experts aren't expecting a possible indictment to have much of an impact on former President Trump's 2024 presidential campaign. Former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Tom Dupree.
There's no legal impediment to him continuing to run as a candidate for president.
Northern California is bracing for another onslaught of rain and snow.
You can see in the valley anywhere from a quarter inch to a half an inch. Doesn't look to be anything that will produce in any thunderstorms or anything like that.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. We're talking, the overarching topic is about the banking disaster that's in progress, the slow motion at the moment. Slow motion disaster. Could speed up, could get much worse. The federal government, though, has a plan to kick the can down the road even further. This is in addition to what they've already done, which is they're going to bail out the depositors at, Silicon Valley Bank and Silvergate Bank. Signature Bank. So anyone who's lost in those situations will not lose. They will get their money back. Well, it wasn't their money. It's money that the federal government is essentially ordering the banks to provide. So the other banks are going to come to the rescue in the form of just throwing the money in. And, of course, that means that the customers of those other banks are going to pay for that price somehow, whether it will be through, you know, lower interest rates on their already dismal rates that they're offering. It's hard to imagine that they could get any lower, but I guess they could cut them by another 50% or whatever. Or maybe they'll just pay from their inventory of billions or trillions or whatever it is that they have. So that was the first move. The next move came this week where they gave $30 billion from the 11 top banks in the United States to this First Republic Bank, which was number three on the list of banks that was, like, going to go under. So one and two was Silicon Valley Bank and then Signature Bank, apparently, and then First Republic Bank was next in line. And so they've staved that one off for the moment by giving them an influx of $30 billion. For how long? That remains to be seen. But a story that you're following, Peakless Mountaineer, and I also had in here tonight, is about this $2 trillion in liquidity, which is not necessarily the maximum cap of this liquidity that the Federal Reserve is going to be offering future banks or current banks that are in the process of beginning to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll jump into this story here. But if you want to weigh in, you can. The number is 603-283-6160.
And just before we get into this, so part of the setup for this thing is that everyone was saying, okay, well, he can't keep raising rates. He can't keep raising rates.
They're going to do that too, supposedly.
Well, they absolutely will.
Yeah.
But I saw that going into this, because I've been listening to a shout-out to Gold Goats and Guns podcast. But one of the things that was unique about this situation as compared to, like, the 2008 crash, for example, is that on the one hand, they had, like, this $30 trillion balance sheet in assets, so mostly treasuries and mortgage-backed securities there, and... The Federal Reserve.
The Reserve. Okay.
Good. Right. So the Federal Reserve had, on the one hand, all of these assets, you know, some $30 trillion that it was, you know, trying to wind down the balance sheet on. And on the other hand, this $2 trillion sitting in excess reserves because it had this reverse repo rate, which is all really, really complicated. You couldn't possibly understand it, except that it's actually really simple. There's a savings account for banks that only banks get to use.
Mm-hmm.
And they upped the rate on this, so then the banks went, oh, well, that's actually paying now? Okay, I'll set some money aside in this because it's absolutely secure as the dollar itself, and it's giving me something back. So that means that all this money is not in circulation running around driving up prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that the Fed, whenever it wants to, can access this $2 trillion payload.
Is that where the $2 trillion came from?
That seems to be it, yeah.
Huh, okay. See, I didn't realize that. I figured they were just going to print it up.
Well, and so that's why it's $2 trillion instead of infinity trillion. Hmm. And this is a big part of this BPFT thing, is that it's another way of money printing that doesn't look like money printing. So it's not just a regular old nothing to get excited about the Federal Reserve buying its own debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would freak people out. That would make people lose confidence in the dollar and whether or not it's worth anything. And then the dollar would, against other currencies would go down. But no, here's this special little program over here that we're only doing. We're only doing this because such a big bank failed. I mean, we weren't gonna do this otherwise. But since it's an emergency, we have this little program over here, and it just so happens to print money.
So you're saying, let me see if I followed you, you're saying the reverse repo program is how they're funding this new bank term funding?
I think that's I think that's where this is coming from.
They didn't say that in their press release. At least I didn't see it.
Not that I've seen yet, but okay. I mean, I can't see any other reason that it would cap out at $2 trillion.
It won't cap out at $2 trillion, so that might be something you're missing here. So according to the story from Business Insider, the only reason that we'll get to the reason why it's being touted at $2 trillion, but there's a note that's been, I don't know if it's a press release or something that got leaked from J.P. Morgan Chase, that is saying the Federal Reserve may inject up to $2 trillion in the banking system. The estimate comes after the central bank's weekend announcement that it's creating an emergency loan mechanism dubbed the Bank Term Funding Program, which is what we're talking about here. The initiative is meant to prevent, they say, the kind of run on deposits that sank Silicon Valley Bank last week after it sold its bond portfolio for a $1.8 billion loss. J.P. Morgan's analyst said the usage of the Fed's Bank Term Funding Program is likely to be big. So they're predicting a lot of these regional banks or whoever is going to be tapping into this.
I agree. It is going to be used. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if literally every bank used this. Because
mm-hmm.
it is such a gift.
Because they're all in over their heads on these
right.
bonds. Right?
Every single bank. Well, the Fed itself is in over its head.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these, you know, treasuries, they're not worth what they were when they bought them. They're worth way less. So all of this collateral, there's all these losses that haven't been realized yet. So these unrealized losses exist in the entire banking system.
These are on paper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They haven't sold the thing.
Right. So they haven't sold it, so it's not permanent yet.
Yeah.
But or what it is apparently worth right now, yeah, they're all way lower than when they purchased them.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bank, as far as I know, has at least a some amount of this, because if they put it in bonds, you know, mortgage-backed securities, well, those are worth less because now the treasuries are worth more.
Mm-hmm.
If they put it in treasuries, well, the treasuries are now worth more than they used to be, so that changes the price there. So all of them have these unrealized losses. So I think
now they're going to be able to take those assets, use them as collateral to get a loan through this mm-hmm. bank term funding program for a year's time, mm-hmm. basically.
And paper over those unrealized losses.
And then presumably they'll have to pay that loan back at some point.
Now, there's the question. That is the quadrillion dollar question. So, and they don't have to decide that for a year.
Is quadrillion higher than trillion? That's the next
yep,
one up, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Tri is three, quad is four.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
What happens in a year from now? Presidential primaries, right?
Wouldn't you know it?
Yeah. Coincidence?
Maybe.
Let's go to the phones here. Alu's on the line. Alu Axelman from the Liberty Block at libertyblock.com. Hello, Alu.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I've been very busy over the weekend working, but apparently there are some credible articles insinuating that Trump is going to be arrested and perp walks and everything.
Well, Trump himself is saying that he's expecting to be arrested on Tuesday. So it wasn't just speculation. It's now he himself saying that's going to happen. That suggests that some enforcer reached out to his lawyer and said, you know, prepare yourself. We're coming to get
him. Well, I hope he is arrested. And do you know why?
Because it will delegitimize the federal government.
Exactly, and it'll bring over another 5, 10, 20, 50 million conservatives onto the way of thinking, and instead of saying Ian and Alu are crazy, they'll start saying, you know what, maybe secession is the only prayer we have.
I certainly hope you're right about that, because when you look at the social media posts about Trump from a lot of at least the influencers of the conservatives, you'll see the opposite. You'll see, oh, well, this is going to guarantee that Trump's going to win re-election, we'll take the nation back, and, you know, that they're just going to double down.
You're right.
We'll save us all.
Get Trump elected. And fix the DOJ. We just have to fix it, Ian. Come on. Like, once Trump or someone is elected, they'll fix the DOJ, they'll clean house, they'll drain the swamp, and then they'll get back to the U.S. Constitution, which is the best document ever.
Yeah, it's
perfect. Wait.
It's exactly what you were saying earlier with the other conservatives of, oh, well, it wasn't these police. It was that they were under Sununu, and he's
right.
bad. It's the same thing,
yeah.
One level up.
So, I mean, that's counter to what you're saying, Alu. Maybe some conservatives will indeed start taking secession seriously as a result of this, but it's hard to know how many of them are going to be persuaded.
Yeah, what's amazing is that a lot of people, mostly conservatives, think the U.S. Constitution is the best thing ever since sliced bread. But a certain Alu Axelman just put out a super-duper short book. That's like 99 cents Kindle or like $8 on paperback. Called How Amazing is the U.S. Constitution? And the spoiler is that it's not very amazing at all. But it might fool conservatives into reading it, because I have pictures of founding fathers like George Washington and Lysander Spooner
mm-hmm.
on the front of it, and they might read it, and it's a super-duper simple book, like Ian Underwood bare minimum book style, in very short, simple, like one sentence per page, and it could be read in 20 minutes. It'll explain to anyone reading it with a brain that the Constitution is actually extremely bad for liberty, and the only solution is voluntarism and not getting back to the U.S. Constitution, because even that is not good.
Well, I do have a little bit of good news here. You may have seen the headline, Alu, that according to the Daily Mail, and I'm not sure what survey they're citing here, but there's some sort of poll has been done, and Ipsos did it. It was over 1,000 U.S. adults conducted March 10th through the 13th, and they asked people about national divorce. They asked a couple different questions on this topic, actually. So there's the confusing mishmash of national divorce concept coming from this Marjorie Taylor Greene that we've discussed, where she's talking about how the right state or the red states and the blue states should quote unquote separate, but still have a federal government, and it's not really secession at all. But regardless, she is getting a conversation started, and these polls are happening. So one poll was asked, people were asked whether they support the idea of a national divorce where Republican-leaning states from form a separate country from Democratic-leaning states. And it was 25% of Republicans, 16% of Democrats, and 20% of independents who supported that statement. They then asked a question, would you support your state seceding and leaving the United States to form or join a new country? And the numbers were a little different, with 9% of Democrats, 15% of Republicans, and 19% of independents supporting those statements. So depending on how the question is asked, it's looking like somewhere around roughly a fifth to a quarter, depending on the political beliefs of the respondent, are already in favor of secession.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it in the double digits, for sure.
Have you guys been following Rasmussen? Because I thought they were pretty neutral to maybe lefty things, but Rasmussen's polls, I'm getting their emails for some reason the last few days, and they're, like, super based. Like, Rasmussen's emailing me about polls saying most people think the FBI is... the guidance Gestapo, but that was old, but I think another one recently said that, but also national divorce, the country's going in the wrong direction, Biden and government is terrible, and like, Rasmussen is doing some very pro-liberty polling, or at least the results of pro-liberty. Are you following Rasmussen, and are they neutral?
We, I believe, reported on Rasmussen within the last few weeks. They did a secession poll. If I recall correctly, it was about 33 or 34%. Did you see that one?
I'm not sure. I just know there are a bunch of stuff from Rasmussen in the last few weeks, and their editor-in-chief or director of polling does these nice little short YouTube videos explaining the different demographics of the polls and stuff, and it's mostly really, really good news for me. And I'm just shocked, because I thought Rasmussen was like a very well-respected, pretty neutral polling agency, but there's a lot of like really awesome stuff that you think came out of like an opinion piece from you or me. That's what's making me so surprised.
Very good, man. Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, I think that's all. Just listen to the podcast. I hope we're still on LRN, Liberty Bond Podcast.
Indeed.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say on polls is I'm really happy about the poll where I heard that the number one problem that people are listing is the government.
Yes,
I am so happy to see them actually place the blame where it belongs.
Thank you, Alu, for the call again.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Liberty Block. Check him out at libertyblock.com. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Whether Trump actually gets arrested on Tuesday or not is an interesting question. I mean, I didn't know if this was going to happen, but now you've got Trump himself saying it's going to happen, so like that seems to increase the odds that it's going to happen.
Honestly, wouldn't surprise me. Oh, they're paying too much attention to the banks. Send in the orange clown.
Well, right, and I said on social media today about this, it's like if Trump really wanted to cause trouble, because he's calling for protests again, and of course the mainstream media is saying, oh God, January 6th, all over again, right? It's like, if he really wanted to cause some trouble, he would call for a bank run if Trump wanted to really stir it up out there.
But as I said at the beginning of this, what he wants is attention.
Yeah.
That is all. That is all he has ever wanted is more attention on him. And here's the thing. Look at how he treated the people who were arrested for the January 6th, whatever you want to call them.
He threw them to the wolves.
Absolutely.
He could have pardoned them.
Straight under the bus.
Yeah.
No support whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. And here he is calling for you to get his back again, when you know for a fact he will never have yours.
That's a great point. We continue here. Caller, you are on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
excuse me. Am I on?
You are. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Kev, calling from Florida. Used to be in New England.
Welcome, sir.
I was basically calling to get you guys' mailing address because I have about terabyte or so of data that you guys need to know that I've been researching for about 15 or 20 years. It goes back to the 1209 concession of King John Lackland to the Pope, all the way forward until the 1867 British North America Act signed by Queen Victoria, 3031 Victoria Chancery Scroll number 3. And then
this sounds really, really deep, and I've got to be the first to tell you, I don't have time to look through a terabyte of data. We don't have, like, producers or anything like that that we can assign this to. What are you, what's the main, I mean, obviously it's a terabyte of data, but, I mean, and we don't have all night to talk about it. What do you think that is going to be revealed? What's the most important thing that we would learn from looking at this?
The top five. 1933, what FDR did on March 3rd, in cohorts with his previous president when they repealed over 1,000 United States regulations and put in their bankruptcy. The fact that the IRS does not exist and is actually a corporation that belongs to the Declaratory Trust Corporation of the District of Columbia.
So who did they put on the stand in my trial that claimed to be an IRS accountant if they don't exist?
When you consented to the trial, you consented to the jurisdiction to do whatever you wished.
You haven't been paying much attention, man.
By their rules, my friend.
He didn't consent to a trial. They beat down his door.
That's correct. When you consent to be their piece of paper U.S. citizen, and you consent to their terms of their contract.
I wish it worked like that. I really do.
Yourself,
yeah, same.
Well,
do.
It does.
I've done a lot of this research as well. I've seen a lot of this information, and I've taken the time to, you know, withdraw my consent and, you know, make that known, but they still want to put me in a prison cell. Huh?
When you do it correctly.
Okay.
So you know the one special method that they will actually follow.
My friend, I don't claim to be special at all.
Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that have tried these things, and they all go to jail or get shot every single time. These tyrants do not follow the rules.
Especially when they try to sell the stuff using Federal Reserve notes, which is commerce, especially when they attempt. I used to listen to blog spots.
Okay, so you believe you've got the secret sauce.
No. I don't say I have the one answer at all.
Okay, but you told me that we didn't do it right. So you know how to do it right.
If it hasn't, I know how to do probably 60 to 80% of it.
Okay.
Maybe 75.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sounds to me like that 20% will get you killed.
Yeah, that's not good enough, right? Like, you have to have something that's going to work, or else they're going to throw you in a prison cell.
Okay, great. So you've got a terabyte of data, and it gets you not all the way there. And look, if you've got 10 terabytes of data, if you've got a gigaquad of data, and you've gone through all of it, and it gets you 99.9% of the way, and they still shoot your dog and put you in a cage, that's not real useful.
They shoot you. Or they take you and they lock you away like they've tried to lock away a lot of those poor men and women that went to the District of Columbia. A lot of them were taken under the problems of belligerency that's existed since they destroyed the Union in 1861.
They destroyed the Union in 1861.
Now he's on to something here, actually. It's one of those weird things where, like,
but that's what they did. It was a contract.
Yeah, well, I mean, the history books will tell you this is the same country, but there are certain turnarounds where we have absolutely changed.
Which country?
Right.
They have no gold. They have no lawfully seated government that the men and women consented to. And more importantly, they don't have their own military. The United States of America, parentheses, minor, the corporation that is running the District of Columbia, is the one that owns
all of
their material.
Do you know the difference between de jure and de facto?
Yes, and both of them are very dangerous.
Can you define them?
And if you want to be serious, you should actually deal with jura summa imperii.
I give zero rats behinds about de jure. I do not care. So de jure means like officially on paper, like here is what should happen. Here's your legal status, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Legal status.
That doesn't matter. None of that matters. Now, de facto is, are they going to kick down your door, shoot your dog, and put you in a cold cell?
What are they actually doing?
Right.
Bingo. De facto is those who have the guns and the bullets and control the media and the rest of that stuff.
Well, which is why no amount of paper filing is going to make a difference with these people. They don't care about your paperwork. They don't care about what you have to say. They're going to do what they want to do.
Do it in their commercial courts correctly with enough men and women who are competent.
How many times have you been into their courts and done any of these techniques that you're referring to?
Twice in 2014 through 2017.
And what were those regarding?
And I was by myself.
Mm-hmm. And what were those regarding?
It was very scary.
Sure, sure. Which courts were they?
I'm close to where you guys are in New England.
Okay.
I know where the Keene place is located. I don't specifically want to give the case number the location because I'm trying to just be very careful and not become disappeared.
So you don't have any proof
of your claims,
right?
That's why I haven't done the
rest
of the 25%.
Okay.
And that's also why I wanted the mailing address, because I have no problem sending the documents and the data for you and your producers and
researchers. We don't have producers. We don't have researchers. It's the first thing I told you when we started this conversation. So I'm sorry about that. What I would recommend that you do is you dump that data online.
Turn the TV down.
What is your name? What's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin. What I'd recommend you do, Kevin, is you dump that data online,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it anonymously.
I haven't used email since 2014.
Well, then find a teenager.
The Tor network.
Find a teenager who can help you do this. Get the data online so somebody
My
can.
My friend, I've been a Linux user for 15 years.
Great.
Okay, then you sound like you got
online anonymous.
Yeah, you sound like you can figure this out. Then go online, put this information on there, and get the word out. You can send us a link or whatever, and then, you know, maybe there's something interesting there.
What is the, is it the Keene Free State Project that you guys use as the website? What is it? Because I, like I said, I haven't used email since 2014. But I listen to AM radio, and I use a flip phone, which I've used for 10 years.
But you have a terabyte of data.
I wear them out. My hard drive can run an AMD. It can run Intel. It can run a 32-bit.
Hard drives don't run AMD, Intel. They connect to motherboards.
When they have the correct instructions on how to run that processor. And
hard drives don't run processors. Hard drives are used for storing data.
You have to have your instructions on the hard drive. In the root sector, that's the way Linux works, my friend.
I get what you're saying.
I've been doing this since 2014.
All right, well, then you figure it out, okay? And then you can send it to whoever you need to send it to. But I'm not going to pour through a terabyte of data just to find your court documents for this for these
court
trials.
Oh, no, not my
court
documents. The documents.
Oh, you're not even going to send that?
Out, the top three, those pieces of paper, you can print them out yourself. The DVD that I've given to a number of different people is...
So you don't even want to share your court documents for your of your supposed court wins?
I wouldn't say it was a court win. They left
okay,
me alone.
Well, you're not really making this very attractive to me.
Yeah, this sounds like a tremendous waste of time and energy that might, in fact, get people killed or at least arrested.
Good luck to you getting that online, and thank you for the call tonight. There's been so many of these courtroom gurus who make all kinds of claims, and they don't have anything to back it up at all. There's more coming up here in moments. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.